This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 263. If Ice-T says it ain't over, it ain't over. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to yet another episode of our podcast.
Yay!
Woo! It's not a clip show.
Nope. It wasn't a clip show last week.
I know. We're like two for two.
I know. We're getting better at it.
Hey, sometimes you gotta have an off day.
Yep.
You know, just so that you can game and maybe like clear out your back catalog. Maybe.
You have a huge backlog.
I know, my backlog is like, whoa. I need a vacation in order to take and go through my backlog. But that's not what this episode is going to be about. Although, we are going to do an episode.
We should do a backlog episode.
Yeah, we will. We will. Maybe we'll do that in late October.
Maybe.
It could happen. It could be us that do that. But this week, we are going to talk about Gears of War 3. Surprise! I know.
I think we talked last week about how we were going to talk about it this week.
We did. We were honest. We said, guess what? We're going to be talking about it next week, too.
Yep.
And here we are. So, what I want to say right now is if you haven't finished the campaign...
I'm not spoiling shit.
So I'm spoiling everything. That's why I'm saying it right now.
Okay.
I am going to spoil the bejesus
and
out of this
I'm
game.
I'm not.
Because we have a lot of... oh my god, what the fuck moments to run through on Gears that just, it cannot wait. So if you have not finished the campaign yet, stop this episode from playing in about 10 seconds. Save it, download it, mark it as a favorite, or put it on a playlist to listen to after you finish the campaign so that you too can weigh in with your thoughts on what we're going to spoil the hell out of. So, turn it off now. For the rest of us, we're going to dive in deep and go over all of this stuff. Because there's a lot.
Yeah.
The first thing I have to say is, I am so happy with this outing of Gears.
Are you?
I am.
Do you think it's your favorite Gears of the three?
I'll be honest with you. Yeah, it is, actually. You know, as I was going through and just kind of touching on each of the different modes, I think Beast Mode is actually kind of interesting, being the inverse of Horde, so that it's not just all about being the goody-goody guys, but you can also play some of the bad guys, and I think that that gives you a little bit more insight, at least for me, on strategies for taking them out, really understanding now how they move, and how they deal with weapons and things like that. I think that Horde Mode has definitely been upped way awesomely. That was almost a sentence that made sense. But it is definitely drastically improved, at least for me, than the previous Horde mode. You know, I really didn't dive all that deep into Horde in 2.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually really enjoy the armament building piece of Horde. I haven't gotten to a boss battle yet, but did look a few up on the internet, and those seem to add some real interesting critical thinking and strategy things.
Well, I mean, the strategy to the boss rounds, those are every 10.
Mm-hmm.
Every interval of 10 in Horde mode is a boss encounter. And you're still getting hit with all the other smaller, less... I don't want to say less effective locusts, but the smaller locusts and or lambents, too. So they suggest that you take out all the small ones, all mm-hmm. the small locusts, you know, the regular locusts, and then focus on your boss. Do not go straight in to try to take out the boss, because while you're focusing on the boss, something will come up and chainsaw you in. There goes your chance.
Right, right. So I think that those are all elements that really add a lot to the experience, especially the multiplayer side. because you definitely really need an entire team to be very successful in those modes, where before you could kind of play through Horde by yourself and you know, get pretty decently far. I like that the multiplayer is really very well balanced when playing with team members, as opposed to trying to do it the go-it-yourself way.
Right.
So it encourages party creation, and it encourages real strategy and cooperation as far as, you know, crosstalk on getting things accomplished, which I like.
Right.
And then you add in the campaign, which I have to say, I think that Epic did a really fantastic job of telling a very good story with some great action and just some amazing one-liners.
Of course, yeah.
That just felt really balanced. It didn't feel like it was out of left field. And I gotta tell you, it's just a knock out of the park for me. So, like, I thought it was gonna be good. It's great.
It's better than what I was expecting to get out of Epic. And Epic has never disappointed me.
Ever.
So, I mean, this just really kind of raised the bar. Because now I'm thinking, now that this series, this, you know, chapter of this is over, now what are they going to do?
Yeah, I know. Because they've already said that this is the end of this trilogy. So, you know, with characters that I'm sure are really near and dear to them, you know, what is the next thing? Because I don't think that we're ready for Marcus Fenix as anything other than a cog.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean,
so what's the next move?
What is their tomorrow? Now that they have their tomorrow, what is it? What will it be now?
You know, let's start, you know, with the spoiling of shit.
No, you can start with the spoiling of shit. Go ahead.
All right, so the first thing I want to talk about, the Carmine.
Oh, you had to pull out the big gun.
We got to pull out the big one first, because it's one of the things that we focused on last week. I was like, I was going to flip my shit if the Carmine died.
Right.
Okay, because we've gone through our reasons on multiple shows now on why the Carmine must live.
Right.
So here's the first spoiler. The Carmine lives. Thank you fucking people for buying those t-shirts and voting and for Epic actually listening. Because in the way that the Carmine lives, I thought that they were so smart. They were almost too clever for their own damn good.
They were very, very clever. I like that they kept teasing you with tidbits throughout, like, for most of the start of the game. Though, I mean, I had my gripes with that, because I'm sitting here thinking to myself, you know, okay, I was hoping that they would continue that gag throughout the whole game so that you'd play with that Carmine and get to know him more as a character, right, as a, you know, a supporting character, so you could understand, you know, his tie with his brothers and why, you know, how he's made it so far, because, I mean, he's an ideal cog. And I did read, you know, a little bit of his, like, prologue and stuff like that, you know, his little profile thing there. And, anyway, so, I mean, I was so hoping to get a little bit more into him, because, I mean, he's the oldest of the three.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Clayton, and then what? Was it Benjamin and then Anthony?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, and the funny thing is, the voice actor who did Benjamin and Anthony also does Clayton, so it's the same guy who's done all three brothers. So, I mean, like, I'd love to interview him and, like, ask him what his thoughts on that trio is, since he is essentially all three brothers wrapped into one.
He is like God. He is the Holy Spirit, God, and Jesus.
But I think I was a little upset at the fact that, you know, they gave you this character that we've all been rooting for and waiting to see what was going to happen, and they give you only, like, basically half of one chapter with him.
Right.
As a playable character in your four for campaign. And then you have no idea what happens to him until I think chapters 5 and 6 of Act 5.
Yeah, I mean, it's really strange because, you know, as Panda says, you get basically taunted throughout the beginning of the game when Carmine is first part of the group.
Cole's team.
Yeah, and basically at one point gets shot in the head.
A car gets flung at him first.
Oh, that's right. The car first.
right near the grocery store, and he gets flung, and Cole's like, Carmine, watch out, and like the car, and he goes, woo, that was close. So you're kind of like, whoa, you know. And then later on, when they meet some stranded, one of them's got, you know, a sniper, and he pretty much dings the side of Carmine's helmet, because he wears a helmet, so you have no idea what he actually looks like without it. I do believe there's a playable skin where you actually get to see that, but I'm not, that is not a confirmed for me yet. But I hope so, because I'd kind of like to know what he looks like. But anyway, he gets dinged on the head. Now, mind you, the guy who's looking through the scope can actually see that they're not locusts.
Right.
Like, they're wearing the blue lights of, you know, the cog. So I'm like, this guy is just really stupid. Because I've never known, you know, locusts to kind of just meander about.
Right.
Ever. You know, so
of they're course, not the type to go walk about.
No. You know, when he gets hit, he's like, thank God I was wearing my helmet. And I was just like, ha 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 ha. Ha, Epic, you're so funny. You're gonna set up all these scenarios where the other Carmines that we've ever experienced have had something like this happen to them and be taken out by it. And this guy is just lucky. Like, luck just follows him around like a puppy wanting a bone.
It does. It does, actually.
But like Ninja did say, he does live. And the funniest one of all the instances that he gets in this game is when you meet back up with him at the end of the game, he's in a helicopter and he's your support fire. As anybody who has played a Gears game knows, that if there's a helicopter supporting you, it's going to go down.
Yeah,
it's
support down. Helicopters are fucked in every single Gears game.
Like, hey, we'll
game.
Back you up. No, you won't.
No, you won't.
Like, literally, I feel like the people who operate the Raven should never be like, we're going to help you. It's like, we're going to fly around.
would like to help you, but we don't want to die.
We know what happens when we help you. So we're not going to tell you that's what we're going to do. We're going to be around.
We're going to be in the area-ish.
So, yeah. Because the minute they say, oh, we're going to help, something horrific happens and they can't help. Or they help for a very small period of time and then something horrific happens. And of course, freaking Carmine is pretty much in a Raven by himself.
Yes. I'm not exactly sure how that worked out.
I'm like, how are you going to pilot and shoot this Raven?
Yeah.
And of course, I mean, I think his helicopter lasts a little bit longer than most, but he does get shot down. So I'm like, oh shit, he got taken out and a help. But I mean, I would have been happy with that too if he had died that way, because he made it to the end of the game.
Right. No Carmine had made it to the end of the game before.
No, one right at the beginning, dead. Later on, one like near the middle of shit,
dead.
So that would have been fine. So if they had even geared it that way, I would have been satisfied with that, because he made it all the way through and, you know, could honor his brothers that way. But I'm glad that he lives. I'm very glad to see that he lives. I'd like to see some downloadable content come out where you actually get to play the missions or the other part of the story with where he's going around and he gets the, like, how he gets the helicopter and how he ends up at the island, because he's not a part of that team to know where that place is.
Yeah, so he must have been
neither,
part of
neither is Cole or Baird. So, I mean, I think there's, like they did that with Resident Evil 5, where there were
certain...
Well,
Cole and Baird had to go and get the
support
guys.
They wanted to get backup. They wanted them to get backup and stuff. But they were not, I guess. So maybe
they
told
had the coordinates
Carmine.
of the Azura.
Yeah, maybe. So, I mean, but I would even like to see that aspect of the game, because, I mean, they went and they showed us in the first chapter both sides of the situation.
Yeah, everything leading up to Azura, and then all of a sudden, like, all right, go get support, and then everything else is just like, we're on the island and we're screwed.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'd like to actually see, like, I think they should make those those aspects of the game playable.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're Cole and Baird and you're getting those supplies and getting everything set up, or when you're Carmine and you have the Raven and you're, you know, shooting and getting your way to Azura. I mean, I think that would be an even juicier content for us to get, because then it would feel far more inclusive for me as a story, because then I know where everyone is and what everyone is doing preparing for this last stand with the Lambent and the Locust. I think would have been... And I wouldn't be surprised if that season's pass with those contents will have something to do with those things.
It may.
And obviously some downloadable maps and whatnot for the horde mode and the beast mode and stuff like that.
Right.
So
definitely will make and add a lot of value. I think. And, you know, the DLC is planned, so we don't know exactly what all the DLC is going to be. It very well could be, because there are a couple of gaps, like you talked about.
Oh, with, yeah, some serious gappage.
And so I think that those may be the DLC pieces, which will help, you know, really fill out the story over the course of the year. But I gotta say that I was very, very happy to see that a big chunk of people were for the saving of the Carmine. And as you mentioned, and why I think it's so interesting, is that, you know, the last thing that we see is, of course, Carmine's Raven go down. When we get to the end of the game, you actually see his helmet all by itself on the shore, and it kind of rolls towards camera, and you're just like, well, fuck. All right, but at least it makes sense the way that he died. And then you see somebody pick it up and put it on their head, and you realize that he didn't die, and you're like, oh, that is just too cool. But at the same time, I like had a half second of being pissed at Epic for making me think that he was dead. I said half second. It wasn't really long.
Right.
But I had a half second where I was like, oh, damn yous.
Oh, you guys got me. You got
me. And then I went, oh.
You put him in a helicopter on top of that, you asshole.
I know what happens to fuckers in helicopters in this game. They die.
Yeah.
But not the Carmine, which I thought was really cool. I don't have to talk to you about graphics. It's stunning.
I thought we were going into the spoilers.
I am going into spoilers, but I just want to say, I don't have to talk about the graphics.
No, because they were beautiful.
It's epic. It's stunning. It's done. I got another one I got to go with. I realized somebody had to die. And if it's not the Carmine, somebody else has to die.
And the funny thing about that is I think last week's show, I must have been channeling some psychic energy.
I feel like you were. I feel like you tapped into the Psychic Friends Network.
I must have, because I was talking about this. Like, it could easily happen. It would make sense. And then it happened. So I think Epic is, like, bugging my room.
Or they could just be listening to the podcast.
They could be listening. I doubt it, but they could.
Seeing as how the game was already GM before we recorded the podcast last week, I doubt we had that kind of influence.
Right. But I would last night, like, oh my god, we should do that. Let's.
Why? Because Pandalicious said it would be a great idea.
And it is.
It is a great idea. It's a wonderful idea. Wish that we had that kind of, you know, input and influence over at Epic. But I think we only have, like, one person that we know there. We should definitely, you know, build that relationship. Anyway, what Panda is referring to is last week she made mention that she doesn't like Dom. And that Dom... Your quote was, has nothing to live for.
Yes, he doesn't. But I didn't... Alright.
Wait, what happened was...
No, I strongly...
Dislike Dom.
I strongly, affirmatively hated Coltrane.
Yes.
And I was getting annoyed by Dom. It was irritating to me.
Right.
And then, in this game, it completely flipped me around, and I now have this strong appreciation for Cole. So I'm now no longer annoyed and hate Cole anymore. And I actually don't even hate Dom anymore, because, you know... Well, you can't...
Say it! Say it!
You can't hate the dead. Because, But now I have a new annoyance. I am so annoyed by Jace.
Oh, here we go. Okay, all right. So,
let's get back to the spoilers.
Yeah, let's get back to the spoilers.
So, like Ninja was saying...
Were you just about to call me Pandalicious?
Yes, I was.
I'm so, I'm not the only one!
I'm usually the one who likes to spoil things, but you've been taking a strong, strong lead in the spoiler.
Spoilalicious has become Ninja Spoiler.
Yep. Yep. And, but he does die. He does sacrifice himself.
It's kind of ballsy.
It's a great way to go out.
Yep.
Like, he didn't just punk out and take out his ball talk pistol and shoot himself in the face.
No.
Like, I mean, he decided to use himself as, you know...
A means to save everyone else. Yes. Fucking cool.
A martyr for the sake of mankind and all that. So, I mean, I don't feel like he punked out in any way. I mean, at first when I saw that scene happening, and they're at a gas station... You know, you're trying to fill it up so you can get yourself to Azura, because the boat's not going to run on piss and moonshine.
No.
Like, it won't.
Or shits and giggles.
Or any of that. So, no. And you get overrun by Lambent and Locust
and Fallen.
Formers. They're whatever. Called formers.
I call them Fallen.
But they're not, they're formers. And I mean, things are just going to hell. Stocks are coming up. You're just overrun. There's no way for everyone to clear this place out. And, you know, Dom sees an opportunity to take them all out at once, you know, at a great expense. And when I first saw the scene laying to waste, I thought he was abandoning. I thought he was going AWOL.
Dude, I knew.
I thought he was running. I actually thought he was going to be a pussy and he was going to run. And, you know, he gets to the car and I'm like, he is not leaving Marcus. I'm like, because could you imagine that shit? He goes off. He runs from this battle. Marcus and the two bitches, Anya and Sam, make it through all that. And then they reunite later and, you know, Marcus is being pissed. But then I knew Dom wouldn't do that because Dom has been with Marcus since the very beginning. Mm-hmm. They're truly, like, brothers from another mother. And they are a pair. To go beyond any pair imaginable. And, you know, he gets in this car type thing, a little pickup, and he goes down this tunnel and he turns it around and he's planning to ram the gas tank that they've just filled.
Yep.
And cause a major explosion that will take out everything.
Yep.
So, you know, he's telling Marcus and the bitches to get off the roof.
Yep.
And to get away because he's going to do this. I mean, he goes and he visits the family grave because they're in Mercy, which was his wife's
where Maria's family was from.
And there's even a really touching scene of him going to visit and talking, you know, to Maria and, you know, and I had the feeling because I'm like, he left his cogs there.
Yeah, I know.
I'm like, you know, first sign of suicide is when you start giving up precious shit to you, like sentimental stuff.
Yep.
So I was like, oh no. I'm like, he's not thinking in the right mind. Not to mention one of the collectibles is his psych report, which I didn't pick it up, so I didn't read it. And I feel like
there are some cues in his psych report.
I feel like if I had read that and then saw the scene, I would have anticipated that was really where he was gonna go. And, you know, and they do give you the option to, like, read the stuff that you get in collectibles, and I really wish I had read this, because I would have known far earlier and wouldn't have, you know, been so surprised. But I loved the surprise factor. But yes, he does. He sacrifices himself.
And it was set up so touchingly. I mean, like, it's a, you know, a slow motion watch, the music cues
Mad
up,
World was playing.
You know, and you're just like, oh my god, no. No, like, I was playing it after Panda had already experienced it. So, as we were going through the multiplayer...
Yeah, I jumped into her game, because she was like, where are you? I'm like, she's like, I'm in Act 3, and I'm like, okay, I'm coming in for Chapter 5, but only for Chapter 5.
I'll answer any questions you have at the end, and then I'm going to bed.
And then I'm going to bed.
So then, of course, I get to the cinematic, and I'm watching it, and I'm going, no, 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 what is this? What is this?
Yeah.
And she was like, do you have any questions? And I was like, I have nothing but questions!
Yeah.
Because it was very surprising to me, but at the same time...
Illogical for the mind frame that he was in.
And it felt right in the story. You know, because I noticed that, you know, he gave up his tags as well, that he also had the little pendant of her necklace on. And I thought that it was very interesting... You know, especially because
then
Dom...
Then you put a piece of her and a piece of him there.
Exactly. And starting out the level, even talking about how he felt bad about not being able to bury Maria and the kids
there.
Back to Mercy. And so, you know, you're going through this thing, and if you put the pieces together, you're like, wow, this is really kind of heavy, because he's going back through her hometown, she's gone, he actually took her life, kids are gone... He's already a little emo to begin with, because, you know...
I mean, he grows tomatoes.
He does, you know, and so you start putting those pieces together, so it only makes sense that in a dire situation where he's trying to save Marcus, who, you know, is like a brother to him, and Sam, who's head over heels in love with him...
I don't know.
Because there's that moment where Marcus, after that happens, asks Sam if she's okay.
Yeah. Yes, I know that, but at the same time, when you first encounter Sam, she's sitting there and she's talking to Baird about, you know, I can picture us in that house, a couple kids, dog, you know, and then he interjects. So I think she's strongly emotionally tied to Dom, but I also think there might have been a slight...
She has this, like, playful thing. Absolutely, attraction with Baird. Absolutely.
So, I mean, but I think she was like, man, if I can get with Dom first, I'm totally gonna get with Dom. But if I can't get with Dom, I'm totally gonna hook up with Baird.
See, I don't think she was gonna hook up with Baird because they were going back and forth about that happening. And then, like,
chewing each other. Like, I know you're expecting me to say that I've always loved you, but I really, really don't.
Yeah.
I don't.
I love that play with them.
Oh, the banter
was
great.
It was really clear that she really did love Dom, but knew that nothing was going to happen because of
how he felt. He wasn't going to let go of his wife.
Of Maria. And it was very... First of all, I want to go back and take a minute to acknowledge Epic doing a fantastic job with the female characters in this game.
Yes.
Because I have to say, they don't feel fragile in any way, even in the saddest of moments. Even Anya, in her saddest of moments, doesn't feel like a fragile person.
No. Well, you can't, in an apocalyptic society. Not that it's really a society, but in an apocalyptic, whatever.
Apocalyptic.
You know, time frame, you know, where everyone's kind of fucked. I mean, you really can't come off super frail because everyone's in the exact same position.
Right, but it's very easy for developers to even with strong female characters to go a little heavy onto that frail, I need help, I need support side.
No, Anya was, I mean, remember, that didn't happen with
either of these characters.
Well, for one, we can't say that. Just because we didn't see it doesn't mean that it did not happen. Because, I mean, Anya was initially a dispatcher, so she never saw war. She never was on the
front
lines.
Yeah, but she wasn't like, oh my god, I just killed something and I feel horrible and
no,
I need to be comforted.
No, but I'm sure she went through that.
She may have.
I don't think Sam did. Sam's a little, you know...
Sam's just badass to begin with. And I love you, Epic, for that.
Claudia Black, you are amazing.
She is.
And I'm so glad because I know last show we were talking, I was like, I was worried that I was gonna see Chloe.
Yep.
In game. No. Completely different, even though the voices are exactly the same.
Yeah, she doesn't do voices.
No.
She's just her.
She's just her as someone else.
Exactly.
Claudia Black as Chloe as Samantha Bryan.
Yeah.
But that's totally fine because it worked for the writing of the character.
Absolutely.
So that's fine.
Her timing was fantastic. And I really thought that the character really added to the banter. You know how sometimes you have an ensemble cast in a game and you have that one character that nobody likes hearing, nobody just... There's no...
They always have to have
qualities.
An annoying one, but you know you're not going to like the annoying one. And I mean, and in that case, we had an annoying one. But you weren't thrown in to playing with him in your group for very long until later on. And I mean, I'm going to talk about this because this is he irks me to no end.
Okay.
So I mean, and I wish that they had played up Griffin more. So I mean, let me go into some supporting cast. So we get a new cog who is in Delta Squad. And his name is Jace. And, you know, black cornrows, you know.
Cornrows.
You know, kind of, I don't want to say that he's necessarily green, because, you know, he doesn't come off like, I don't know what I'm doing, like, you know, the Carmine that we get into, who's like, I'm still trying to learn how to actively reload. Like, I mean, Jace obviously is seasoned, he knows what he's doing, but he still comes off slightly naive.
Like a greenhorn, yeah.
So, I mean, like, I feel like he might not be full on green, but he's like,
I feel like
out of the green.
I feel like Jace is Coltrane 2.0. Like,
I think he's Coltrane light. You know, because, I mean, you know, I used to gripe about Coltrane's speech all the time.
Yes.
Because I just didn't understand where he was coming from. I knew he was like a thrash ball star, like, but I was like, oh, so you were just like, you know, showbiz. All right, I kind of get. But going through the chapter when you with him and his team, and you actually get to, you know, feel like when you're his character. And I mean, I hated when that scene came up. And I'm like, I have to effing be Cole now.
Like, of all people that I have to be, I have to, because I strongly, you could listen to other shows and hear my strong disdain for the man.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, going through this and, like, listening to all these, these stranded men just talking about him and him being Hanover's favorite son, and he brought so much, you know, attention and love and praise and, you know, from this whole town,
mm-hmm.
it really kind of gave me a new appreciation for athletes who come from places that might not necessarily be very big and making them something.
Right.
So, I mean, he rose himself up.
And brought his entire town with him.
With him. You know, he was never like, I'm never going back there again. You know, and they honor him by, you know, not melting down his statues for scraps or whatever, and still keeping all of these memorials of him in the town. I was like, wow. Like, even in this time of strife, they still hold him up so high. And mm-hmm. I was like, all right, I now do not dislike you. But Jace,
who... Jace, on the other hand, I can't stand that motherfucker. No. Here's why.
Well, yeah, here is essentially why. Because, you know, I was like, all right, new character. I'm like, you know, Delta Squad is not one that you just, you know, wake up one morning, hey, you're in Delta Squad. Like, it's an elite squad of the COG.
Right.
So, you know, I understand how Marcus got there. I definitely understand how Dom got there. Baird, even though he's a wise ass, you know, he's your builder. You know, Dizzy. I don't even think technically Dizzy's a part of Delta, but I mean, he's a scavenger. He can fix, build anything.
Right.
So they all have their unique skill that makes them an asset to the squad. What the fuck does Jace do? Nothing. Nothing.
He has a gun.
They all have guns. But no, and my other gripe with him was, you know, like I said, I was so expecting Carmine to get so much more gameplay in this game that when it came time, you know, right after the loss of, you know, Dom, I was expecting the third person, well, actually, technically, he'd be your second, because whenever you come into a co-play situation, whoever's hosting gets to be Marcus or the lead character, and then, depending on who came in, that's how you determine who's going to play what character. I was expecting, you know, the next character to come in might be a Carmine, and where maybe Marcus would develop a stronger tie to Carmine with him losing his brothers and right. Marcus losing now his brother and having that kind of kinship between the two and having that develop. But they didn't go that way. They decided that, yep, Jace is just going to come with us. And then, you know, and Jace is just like, you know, he's just so naive. Like, you're walking through this area, and there's a cave-in. And right as the cave-in happens, he's just like, well, I guess we're not going back that way. No fucking shit, Jace! It's like, shut the fuck up! It's like, really, just shut up and shoot your gun.
Just shut up and shoot your gun.
You know, and he never, he's like Captain Obvious. So he always says the most obvious things at the worst time. Like, I'm really not expecting any conversation to happen. And then he's like, duh, 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 duh. And I just want to go into this game.
You just want to deck him.
I want to smack him in his face. You know, and I'm sitting there, and I was in a co-op, and I was talking to some other players. And I was just like, you know, I'm like, as annoying as he's going to be, I'm like, I feel like he's going to be here. And he's going to do something. I'm like, please let him do something really amazing to save the team. To, like, you know, take him out of the mire. Because right now he is so in the shit with me.
He's in the shit with you.
I can't get behind him. And maybe it's because I don't know where he came from. I've got no other, background on him. And he for the situation that he's in, he is far too happy and carefree. Well, like, I don't feel any strife or pain or struggle in him.
Right. Because he's completely new.
And I mean, I know some people might say the same thing about Samantha, you know, Sam, you know, but at the same time, you know, you can kind of tell by, you know, the way that she talks and, you know, the way that she holds herself and her affection for Dom, even though she's not like all over him, like, here's my vagina, please have at it when you want. But, you know, there's always this strong strength of her to not, I think she's trying to overcome her senses as a woman. To keep herself focused as a soldier, you know, so she feels like, in order for me to love Dom properly, I have to be the best soldier and help him do these things that he wants to do here in Mercy.
Right.
So I'm going to show him how much I care by helping him do that, you know, so I mean, and then she has to go and deal with the fact that now he's dead and, you know, he ain't getting that no more, you know, and stuff like that. But I mean, I feel so much more connected to her than I did as Jace as a character, you know, and they are coming from the exact same place of we don't know how they ended up where they are now. And I don't know what it is. There's just something about Jace that I'm like, don't open your mouth.
Here's the thing, and I heard the rumor, and I don't think it's true, but I'd have to check on it, but doesn't Drake do his voice?
What?
The rapper, I thought.
What? What?
Because aren't they supposed to have, like, another actor do his voice and, like, he dropped out and
so I don't know. We should look it up. Because I don't know if that's... I don't know if that's Drake. Because, I mean, I don't know if I don't know what I... how I'd feel about that. But moving on to the other... another character who we get a taste of, but we really don't... we don't get a lot of him. And his name is Griffin. And he is voiced by Ice-T.
Yeah, and dude, I'm always down for
Dunk Rape Me in the Butt. And there was no raping of the butt.
There was no raping
in
of the
Gears,
butt.
But, you know, Ice-T brought that heat and that flavor to the game. But at the same time, I kind of felt like Griffin might have been slightly misplaced. A little. You know, he's over.
I felt like they could have done more with Griffin.
I think they might with downloadable content, but I'm not 100% sure on that. Obviously, I don't work for them, and even if I did know, I couldn't tell you guys anyway.
Right.
But, you know, you see him, he's not dirty. You know, like, all of his stranded are all, like, dirty, covered in ash. You know, definitely have a reason to be really pissed.
Yes.
You know? And here he is, clean, with a pimp cane.
I know, and gold. Grills. And gold fucking weapons. Did you notice that? Like, when you're in his office, you can actually see them and they're glittering, so I'm like, why can't I go back in there? Like,
just take them. You know, and I mean, and he, you know, everyone else, even though they're bitter and they're angry, like, you could tell that they're justified for that. You know, but even though they're all bitter and angry and upset, like, a lot of them don't drop a lot of profanity and whatnot. But Griffin, like, every other word. Like, the fact that Anya's like, I understand, we just want gas and we'll leave. And he was like, bitch, you don't understand. I was like, whoa. I was like, do not call her a bitch. I'm like, we are not in New York undercover where that is okay. I'm like, that is not acceptable behavior, Griffin.
You watch your language.
You watch your mouth around those ladies. Like, you stop that right now.
You're in the presence of ladies.
Like, I mean, he was repping really hardcore. And I'm like, dude. We're all in the exact same situation. Yeah, my town didn't get obliterated by hammer strikes.
Right.
I get it.
Yep.
But at the same
time... Sure. Anya pulled the trigger on one of those hammer strikes. Probably the one that actually fucked up your town. Okay.
He doesn't know that.
Well, no, he doesn't, but I mean...
He don't know that.
He don't know.
But I mean, he just came off like, you know, like a growling pit bull. That, like, kids are walking by the gate, and that dog, you know that one dog who's like, I want to fuck you up, even though I don't have a reason to want to bite you, right. But I'm going to bite you anyway.
But I'm going
to
bite you anyway, yeah.
And he's just kind of like, fuckers, go get me this shit, fuckers, and maybe I'll keep you. And I'm just like, whoa. I'm like, tone it down some. I'm like, I know you don't like me. I don't like you. I will do...
But you don't have to call me fucker every other word.
I'm like, what do you want me to do? It's like we need something from you. So, I mean, the whole business aspect, I totally got. But I'm like, you can tone down on the motherfuckers. Don't call my hoe, bitch.
Right.
You know, she's...
Because that's my hoe.
That's my hoe. So don't be calling her a bitch, because that's my job. And two, you know, or rather three, just tell me what you want me to do. So I can get some gas and we can move on. And then you don't have to see me no more. Because I ain't coming back for coffee and tea. I just want this gas so I can get the fuck out. So you helping me get me out of your face.
I don't want to put you on my social schedule.
It's like, I will not even Twitter you thank you for the gas when I'm done. I just need it so I can go. And then, of course, you go and you do, you know, you go do the deed. You go get the gas in his cable car. And by the time you get back to him, he's like, you know, they're overrun with Lambent. And Locust, and he's pissed, and he's like, you haven't seen the... I totally felt like they did a really cheesy, like, villain leave.
Yes.
It's like,
you haven't seen the last of me,
bitches. You know, like, it's like, we ain't over yet, and gets in his cable car and just leaves. And I was so expecting, like, I was talking to my co-op team, and I was just like, I'm like, don't you know, I have a strange feeling that he's gonna show up someplace that, one, I wouldn't expect him to know about, and two, he's just gonna fuck shit up, mind you. Never comes back.
Yeah, I know. That's got to be a DLC thing.
I would not be surprised because, you know, Ice-T doesn't say we ain't over
And should be over. And it's not over. If T says it ain't over, best believe the shit ain't over.
So, I mean, I felt like he was over, his character was slightly over the top. And for Ice-T, I mean, with that persona, I would expect that from him. But at the same time, I'm like, wow, they made him really clean and really full of swagger in this scenario. I'm like, I wonder if Ice-T had any, you know, concepts, like any hand in the development process.
Oh, Ice definitely influenced his script.
Oh, and I mean his character design, I think, also. He's like, I know we're in a bad situation, but my character needs to be looking like fly. Like, I'm a leader.
He's a pimp.
He and his pimp can's all, like, bent. Like, I know. His personality, yes. Which I thought was really great.
Yeah.
I'm sure not too many people were paying too much attention to that, but I did! but, you know, whatever. But he felt slightly out of place. Only a little bit.
And I think that the reason that is because, you know, it definitely comes out of place. Like, they've talked about the company, Griffin Tech, before in the game, but it just seems so out of left field that, one, they were still around, and that, two, the leader of this company would be somebody who, let's face it, is so ghetto. Like, when you think of the company that really had refined...
We can't even say that, because, I mean, look at Jay-Z. Definitely came from ghetto situations, rose himself up. I would have felt that there would have been, if they were going to do something like this, I would have felt that they would have given
Ice-T the dignity tip. But, dude, when Jay is in the office talking to people...
He doesn't say
he's
bitch.
Not Jigga. He's not even Jay-Z.
Right, he's his real name.
Exactly. He's right. Sean.
Okay. Oh, his name's Sean, too?
Yes. Okay, he's Mr. Carter, right?
Right.
Okay? He's not H to the Izzo.
Right. Got it.
All right, in the office.
So then I'm surprised that they didn't take that approach, because, I mean, they could have still made Griffin intimidating.
Yeah, absolutely.
He didn't without have him dropping the motherfucker all the
like,
time.
Like, all the time. He didn't have to be so...
Like, he was dropping them the way they were dropping hammer strikes.
Now, at the same time, I could understand being pissed because, you know, he's really about, look, these are my survivors because what you took from me was my livelihood, my people, my family. And I could get being that pissed.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Oh, completely.
Absolutely. But it just seemed like it was so left field and a switch of tempo.
I feel
tempo.
Like it was slightly
I feel like there needed to be more. Little.
I feel like because of his dialogue, it might have made the scenario feel a little less impactful. Like, I didn't completely buy it. Like, I wasn't completely bought that. I'm like, man, he's really hurting. But, I mean, you know, they put that mask on. We all have that mask that we put on. And I feel like he's so deluded in his mask. So, like I said, it was slightly unbelievable for me. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Not enough for me to be like, I'm not going to play this.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Definitely not.
But I feel like there's a lot of opportunity to get a little bit more deeper with even Griffin of, you know, let's face it, we didn't really see a lot of the cities that were hit by the hammer strikes. So I think it would be interesting, especially if we, you know, have in DLC kind of a flashback when we're dealing with Griffin, if we get to deal with him in a flashback, of the hammer strike happening and what happened to people, and maybe that thing that switched that maybe made him...
Maybe he was all business savvy and whatnot. And
then after that destruction, that it just switched and he became bitter.
And we see the hammer strikes, we see everything that got taken from him, and then him leaving that position of power of business... And having to reestablish himself in an era of destruction.
And survival. I think then it would feel
more believable going back into... Maybe. So, I mean, those are my strong gripes with that. Once again, don't get a lot of backstory on Baird either, but I wasn't that upset about that.
No, because Baird just fits. You know, that's the thing about him. And I think it's because, you know, he's the nerd geek. We all kind of understand... The nerd geek. And so it's like, I don't need to know.
He's a nerd geek who can shoot guns.
Exactly. I get that. All right? You've got a wicked sense of humor.
Like, I fucking hate these
stickers. I get that.
They just scavenge for everything. Yeah, I wonder who that's like.
You know? and it just feels right with Baird. And so, you know, I don't feel like I'm missing anything with him. I feel like I know who he is.
I think I would like to see more development with him. I mean, everyone else is dealing with a personal loss, a deeper connection of a loss. Except for our newbies like Jace, where we don't see anything. Griffin, we don't see anything. And Baird, we don't see anything, you know, with Baird either. I mean, you know, you know, Cole lost his, you know, everything he worked for, he lost in this, in these wars. You know, Marcus thought he lost his dad, didn't really lose his dad, but then lost his dad. You know, had, you know,
spoiler,
best friend, you know, had a best friend, went through hell and high water with him, thought he was going to make it out clean with him, boom, didn't. Gone. So, I mean, everyone's dealing with this strong sense of loss, except for, you know, like I said, the new ones, and Baird. I'm like, well, no, I don't think Baird was married.
But Baird lost stuff, you know, definitely with Dom. I mean, because
he didn't find out about that until, you know, that when they landed. And literally, I was talking with one of my teammates, and I was like, you know what's going to suck is when, you know, because we know what's going to happen, and they're going to roll up and be like, look, we got the cavalry, we're ready to go. Where the... So literally, when Baird was like, where's Tom and Dizzy? I was like, shit. I'm like, all right, Marcus, tell him. You know, and he's just like, Dizzy's with the thing, and... Dom didn't make it. Yeah. And I was just like, oh.
You know, but the thing that I you know, walk away from this entire experience with is, you know, we're sitting here, we're talking for almost an hour now, and we're talking passionately about, at length, the story. Okay, we haven't even talked about the actual gameplay mechanics.
No.
We haven't talked about the enemy assortment. We've been focused on the story, and to me that's the mark of a great game, is that it tells a great story, and it makes you connect on a multitude of levels. And I absolutely have done that with Gears. I'm telling you right now, it's definitely, you know, the thing to beat on my list as far as Game of the Year goes.
Won't be surprised if this becomes Game of the Year. I don't think there's anything out there right now that even holds a candle to this.
I would have to agree. I don't think that there's anything out there.
But I mean, we still have what? We have Assassin's Creed, Brotherhood.
We've got Revelations coming. You've got Uncharted 3 coming. You've got Modern Warfare 3 also looming on the horizon. There's a lot of strong games that are coming.
Mass Effect 3.
You've got Mass Effect 3, which, you know, BioWare never disappoints.
Never.
Ever. You know, but for me, I have to say, especially for somebody who, you know, isn't aggressive when it comes to FPSs or action FPSs, I have to say, I can't put this game down. I already know the story, because I beat campaign. I already know the story. And there are a ridiculous amount of collectibles to go through. And there are 42. There are some fantastic achievements to get, and medals and ribbons. And, you know, for anybody that is a completionist, you will spend hours game.
I'm already committed to the project.
But I cannot put it down. It is so enjoyable. From the moment that you pick up the controller and you jump into the game, it is just fantastic. And, you know, we talked about one-liners. Like, there's a moment where Sam is talking to the Ash guy that first is shooting and then finally takes him up.
She called him a fuckstick.
Fuckstick! That is, like, my new favorite word!
I was like, she said it, and
she's like, listen, fuckstick, and I was like, oh?
I'm like, he's not even fuckworthy.
And then I, like, stopped, and my brain had to process that. It's like, that is my new favorite cuss word. I need to use
it
in a sentence.
So now it's fuckery?
Fuckery is still way up there, but I gotta tell you, like, right now, they're running one and two. Okay. Interswappable. I mean, come on. Fuckstick? That's just beautiful.
It was. That was beautiful.
You know, and the timing is just fantastic, and the one-liners are great, and you just feel almost like you're playing in a movie.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I like that experience. It definitely is much more interesting. It's much more alluring. And I think overall entertaining. You know, the fact that you can have a 4-player co-op experience in campaign is fantastic.
It is. It is. And I mean, I know I was talking about this I think I hinted at this last time, but when I went to my midnight release for Gears, there was a huge line, which I was expecting. I was anticipating. Right. But what I wasn't anticipating, that everyone, well, once they announced that they were going to make the campaign 4-player co-op outside of, you know, the basic 1 to 2,
mm-hmm.
People showed up that night with their established co-op team. So talk about enriching the gaming community by getting everybody together.
And to get the game together to then go back and play co-op together.
All night long.
That is...
I mean, and I was slightly disappointed because I was the only person in that line by themselves. I had no team. And I was just like, wow. I'm like, I feel stupid. Like, I felt like I was like, oh, I'm going at it alone.
Like, that's okay.
I don't have a team. You know what I mean? No one hassled me about it, but I think they're all kind of looking like, wow, she ain't got no team. Like, does she not have friends? And I'm like, yeah.
Did you not know that this was a team event?
Yeah, like, literally. And some of them were, like, wearing matching shirts, matching hoodies. So I'm like, you guys went all out for this game, guys. Like, they all...
Wow, the only time that we wear matching hoodies is when we go to do a show.
Yeah. Well, when we're out.
Yes.
But still, like, I mean, some people, like, came out, like, all wearing the exact same COG hoodie with their COG tags. A lot of them must have their, the game, you know, the game... spot.
Well, there's different places that you can get COG tags. I mean, you can order them from ThinkGeek.
So, I mean, people were just...
Do you want a set of COG tags?
I would love some.
Stop rubbing your eye.
I'm sorry. Sorry,
you're still rubbing your eye.
I stopped.
So, I think that that's really interesting. You know, I had ordered the Epic Edition, which, as I was bitching and moaning about last show, I wasn't going to get my hands on until 2 days after launch because I was going to be out of town.
Oh, man, I went right...
I actually tried to scope out a GameStop locally because I figured they'd have it on a kiosk.
Why would you? Oh, so you could play some of
it? So I could play some while I was down in Georgia.
Right.
But I couldn't find one near where we were staying.
Oh.
I had a sad.
I'm sorry.
But literally, like, an hour after I got home, because it, like, took me a half a minute to decompress from my long day of travel, I jumped in and I started pulling things out of the box, which I have to say, first of all, is a massive box. I didn't realize
I know, it's huge.
Some of the things that were going to be in there were actually going to be as large as they were. Because let's face it, when we've dealt with extras that have come along in collector's edition things, they're usually like small, you know, quarter size replicas and stuff like that.
I think the Assassin's Creed Brotherhood box is like a fourth.
Yeah, the box. Assassin's Creed, it's maybe a fourth.
Yeah.
For the Brotherhood box. But... there are a couple of things that I want to touch upon. If you had the money to do it, and you haven't bought Gears yet, and you are a Gears fanatic, you should pick up the Collector's Edition. And you should pick it up for one of two reasons. One, the statue of Marcus Fenix is phenomenal. The detail on it is really fantastic. It is a high-caliber statue. And typically when you get stuff like that in your collector's editions, let's all face it, they've all been kind of a little cheap, and you felt really bad about spending the money that you spent to get them. There's nothing cheap about the Marcus Fenix statue. I mean, they even got his tattoo right. Really fantastic. That is going on my desk at work, and they'll probably ask me what the hell that's all about, but I don't really care. It looks fantastic, and it comes with a scene frame, which is basically the front of the box. So Dom's on one side, Anya's on the other. And you basically wrap it around the statue to make your yeah.
Make it look like an atmosphere.
Yeah, and I thought that that was a really nice attention to detail thing to do. Not just like, and here's your figurine. But I like that a lot. The art book is really gorgeous and tells a very good story and really kind of makes you feel a little bit more part of the actual development of the characters and of the game and the franchise, which is always cool. What's interesting to me is, and I don't think I've actually talked to or shown Panda this, so it's going to be the first time that she's actually seeing it, but the case for the game with the Epic Edition is different than the case that you get when you buy the retail version. What's interesting about it is when the game is actually in here, it looks like the disc that Adam Fenix hands Baird at the end of the game.
I didn't even... Okay.
Because the disc actually sits in here with the silver side out.
Oh.
And the label side is actually on the inside. And so it took me a second because when I first opened the box, I'm like, where's the game? I'm like, here's the art book. Here's my medal. Here's my statue. Where's my game? I didn't realize that the metal thing opened up and the game was actually hidden inside there.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. So the way that it opens up, and by the way, this is not a chintzy metal either. So I have to say, again, Epic, my hat's off to you for actually making a really solid feeling set of really collectibles. So the metal, which is an Octus Award, is heavy as all get out. It's It's got heft to it. It is not a piece of plastic.
No.
It is machined, people.
Yeah.
You could hurt yourself and other people.
Or small children.
With it. And it is engraved. And, you know, it feels like a metal.
Yeah, it does.
Which is awesome. And it basically is the box that has...
Now, I wonder if these are these the actual, like, gears that they wear? Because these would be a heavy necklace.
Yeah.
Like, a heavy gear.
These are not light.
No, but I mean, I feel like these are the, like, would be the actual gears that they'd wear as their dog tags. And I'm like, wow, talk about the heavy burden of being, like, you'd feel the heaviness of
absolutely.
Being.
Absolutely. You know, so that was really, really kind of cool. Because I really thought that it was just going to be, you know, painted plastic, but it's not. It's machined. And then when you get underneath the metal, the game was actually in here sitting on the top, and I didn't realize it at the time, but after playing the game, I realized that it was made to look like the disc that Dr. Phoenix gives to Baird, and the label actually has Dr. Phoenix's name on it. But then it also has, because this is, you know, for his service and his dying, this really, really nice COG emblem flag. And then wrapped up in there is a bunch of Dr. Phoenix's possessions. Like a couple of pictures of him. One of him actually as a gear in uniform, looking like a very, very young...
Marcus.
And what was... there's also a letter that he wrote to Marcus in there, which is kind of interesting and sad as well. So, you know, lots and lots of thought and care.
I mean, because they're trying to develop a character for his father, because, I mean, we get him in the first game a little bit, and we're only getting tidbits of him, you know, in that first game. And, I mean, even though we got some in the second game, still, we don't have, you know... what led Adam Phoenix into, you know, the COG, and what kind of man was he there for Marcus to have such a strong pull outside of the fact that you're my dad.
Yeah, and you get some of that when you go through this stuff. And so, again, I just think when you look at execution all the way around, great story.
Absolutely.
Great character.
So I know that some people were talking about how they appeal to a softer side of what's going on in their universe, and apparently it dissuaded some of the hardcore game
fans. I don't think it did. I don't think it did at all. It was really funny, though, that you bring that up, because there was a video that that I saw. I think we watched it, too.
Yeah.
Conan O'Brien did a skit about it, and about how it's a softer side, a more emotional side, you know, dissuaded the hardcore. I don't think so. We were at PAX East last year, and we were at E3, and everyone was talking about Gears, and everybody was wanting to know about Gears. I don't think them exploring the more emotional side and telling a better story...
I mean, they weren't even pussies about it. Like, you know, like, any time that there was a strong, significant loss, it's not like Marcus dropped his Lancer, went to his knees, and was, like, crying like a pussy, wimpy baby. He was just like, shit, that sucks.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm going to internalize it like a strong man.
Marcus Phoenix is Marcus Phoenix all the way through.
He never broke character.
And I don't think that this particular story really dissuades from the gameplay. It's still as violent as ever. It's still all about just executions and head stomping and, you know, how amazingly can I kill you? That's still at the core what it's about.
Yeah.
I mean, Horde gets an upgrade, but it's still about killing a bunch of fuckers.
I mean, now going, we should actually probably briefly talk about the action. So, I mean, gameplay is still very similar from the other two games.
Absolutely, and if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Literally, you don't really, there's not really a strong sense of tutorial. They flash you the buttons like, for stuff, but
yep.
I mean, they don't, like, let's
practice. Here's how you shoot, here's how you get behind stuff, hope you remembered it, go.
And that's pretty much it, like, in terms of that. But, I mean, game mechanics are pretty much the same.
Yep.
They did go and introduce some new weapons.
Yep.
The Vulcan, which requires two, you know, cogs to operate.
I'm still mastering the Vulcan, as far as, like,
it's
the
hard.
Ammo box. Well, I found, like, I can't load the ammo box fast enough.
I'm mashing my button. Well, because, unless you're firing, you don't have to reload the gun. So, like, every time that we were playing and you were shooting,
I wasn't button mashing A until you were firing, because it doesn't prompt me to until you've started to empty right. up the mag. So, you know, I was just sitting there waiting for you to, like, shoot to do that.
I do like the Vulcan, though.
But, I mean, I feel like the gameplay is a lot smoother. The action reloads. The active reloading is...
Active reloading is much better.
I mean, a lot of people love the retro Lancer, and, I mean, I do like seeing the original, and then what we, as COGs, have now kind of grown up, you know, shooting. Obviously, the retro Lancer has a bayonet on it.
Yeah, I find I don't do as well on melee with the Retro Lancer as I do.
No, because that is a pure run. So it's not like you can just initiate it and run. And you're always going to hit your target because you know targets move. So I mean, you could see a guy go to run and you know go to bayonet him and he move, and then there goes your charge up that you've now wasted. So I mean, it's really about getting just enough time and kind of preempting where you know your bad guy is going to go for you to land. The execution.
I just prefer to chain Tom.
But I mean, I kind of like that they're showing us that though, because I mean, I've always been interested in the evolution of stuff like that.
I also like the Digger.
I am not a big fan of the Digger.
I like the Digger.
I am not a big fan of the Digger. Mm. I like the Hammer Burst in terms of its control and its thing.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Retro Lancer. Like, for one, the active reload is opposite. So, I mean, if you've played the game, you know. Usually there's a block of gray, and then there's a thin line. Sometimes it's a thick line, and sometimes it's a thin line, depending on how many times you've actively reloaded with that weapon.
Mm-hmm.
But on the Retro Lancer, you get the gray bar, like, at the front of your gray line. So you either actively reload, or you just reload the gun. So, like, they've made it opposite of what we know an active reload to be. Like, they give you the lead up, and then, boom, hopefully you hit it. But no, now it's right at the bat, or you didn't, at least you reloaded your gun. I know there is a... I don't know if it's necessarily an achievement or not, but there is a aspect of the game that if you do so many active reloads, it will then unlock an ability that I guess would be kind of a double-edged sword, because if you unlock this ability, the only way to reload your gun is actively to reload it. You can't reload it any other way. So you only get that line. And you just have to hit that line. Like, that's it. Like, you can't get it any other way.
No, I don't like that. I
kind of like it. I think I
don't feel actively reload a lot.
I do all the time because you get more impact in your bullets when they're flashing. So, like, I'll take a couple of shots, actively and hit it, and then I get most of a mag full of actively reloaded bullets as opposed to, like, one or two. So I'm constantly, if you ever watch me in game, I'm actively reloading even when I have a full mag. For that purpose only.
Yeah, see, I'm usually draining the shit out of my Hammer Burst until, like, I'm out.
I'm always actively reloading.
But typically the way that I like to play anyway is I like to play cleanup. Or at least that's the position I call it, where I'm running in the back and I'm trying to peg out the guys that are long distance off, so everybody rushing in and playing Leroy Jenkins actually has a chance to survive.
Yeah, we've had a couple of those.
Because there are a lot of people
that
play that role.
Yeah, they do. The difficulty levels are still the same. You've got your casual, your normal, your hardcore, and your insane. You can only get insane by playing and completing in hardcore. I have now just recently unlocked insane.
Yeah, I have not yet.
No.
That's on deck, though.
And you obviously, you know, depending on which difficulty, will take more damage than most. I do like the idea of when you jump into a co-op, whether it's with one, two, or, you know, a whole full team, that you each get to select your own personal difficulty.
Yeah, I think that that's a really smart move, and I thank Epic for doing that, because I don't like being forced to play at a level that I can't play at
that yet. You're not comfortable playing at. Yeah. You could play at all of them, you just wouldn't be good at some.
Yeah, I really take my hat off to Epic for that, because I don't like jumping into a game and being forced to play at a level that I'm not ready to play at yet.
Well, you're right, that you're not comfortable at, and that makes sense. I mean, I love that they've gone and done that. And you actually get that option in your Horde mode, and I'm not sure of your Beast mode yet. But you do get that option to dictate your difficulty, your specific difficulty, and not make your whole team have to play at that level. So, I mean, I do like that also. I really like the enhancements that they've gone and put into Horde mode, mm-hmm. where you're you know, you can see all the areas that you can use as your combat base, and you can strengthen those by barriers and whatnot like that, and I really like that, you know, because before you pretty much just, you know, in most of my cases, we held up on a roof, and we tried to snipe everything, and, you know, if there were stairs, we had some people manning the stairs, so that if we had people coming up that way, I mean, we were essentially doing what we're now doing now, but they've polished it in such a way in this game that now I'm like, all right, we need to find the most defensible space, keep, you know, set people in charge of certain areas to fortify them and increase the barricades and stuff like that, and just have fun with it. And it's an absolute blast. I have played a couple of actual online matches. I've played some deathmatch, which I suck at. My kill-to-death ratio is pathetic. Like... But I'm like, I've actually now actually have killed people on the map.
Yay!
So, like, I think my kill ratio is, like, I think I've killed 4, and I've died, like, 16 times. So, I mean, it's really bad. Like, people just know how to peg me. And I think, you know, and right off the bat, I'm like, all right, well, they already know that I'm a Czech. So, they're like, oh, you know, but I mean, I'm really not good at it, and I want to be because I want to get the achievements in that, but I know that multiplayer has never been my strong suit. I do like Capture the Leader, and they brought all that back, and the maps are just amazing, the few maps that I've played. So hopefully I will get better at that. Like, if you guys have any tips to help me become really great at multiplayer,
drop them on our Facebook page.
Please do, because I don't want to be crappy at multiplayer anymore. I want to be a force to be reckoned with. Okay, thanks.
Bye.
But yeah, so
yeah, all in all, I would say it would be a fair statement to say that we've had a great experience with this game.
And
buy it.
I mean, at my midnight release, there were some people...
I mean, it wouldn't suck as a gift, so if you need to give somebody a gift for the holiday series or a birthday, absolutely.
I was getting to that. At the midnight release, there was literally one guy who bought, like, 3 of the Xboxes, the custom Xboxes.
Oh, damn.
And 3 of the Epic Editions.
Damn!
And I'm like, what are you doing with the other 3 copies of the game that come with the actual box? Because, like, the custom box comes with the standard game. Yeah. So I'm like, so are you gonna, like, just gift wrap those separately to people who already have Xboxes, and maybe you're getting, I'm like, are you up, I'm like, what are you gonna do with all that? But I'm like, and I mean,
did he answer?
No. But I was just like, what is he doing? I didn't ask him. I was like, damn. I'm like, unless he was buying it for his crew so that they could set up and play it and the 4 different TVs in his house, maybe.
You know, I don't have it like that.
I don't have it like that.
You're looking... You know, for 3 Epic Editions, that's $450.
Yeah, I mean,
and then
literally.
3 of consoles. I mean, that's shit.
Yeah,
that's
this
like
dude
7
rolled up with an envelope. It was all cash money.
Oh, that's never any good.
He delved into his drug money.
Wow,
his illegal stash.
Wow,
he's like, sorry, mom, not gonna bring you in to the country. Gotta go buy these.
Yep, you can't come to the country this month. Maybe next month. That's, wow, dedication.
Yes.
But yeah, I would definitely say wouldn't suck as a gift, so if you've got somebody who has an Xbox, absolutely, if they haven't bought it for themselves already, absolutely a fantastic gift to give, but our recommendation is just buy.
Buy!
Whether you get a standard edition or whether you get, you know,
The Epic Edition
or the limited edition, I don't really care. Just buy it. So that's what we've got for you this week. We promise no gear stuff next week.
No.
We might put it on the website, though, but it won't be in the podcast.
We will not verbally express anything about gears.
Which you can check out, actually, on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use our short address, which is
ESH.co. That is ESH.co. The short address will bounce to the long one. You can check out any articles that have been written within the week. Any questions or comments, go to mailbag@landofesh.com. We are available on iTunes, so you can go there, click the little subscribe button, and get your Esh on.
That's right. She's not joking, people. Simply open up your iTunes, hit the music store, and search for Electric Sisterhood. That subscribe button will be right there, and once you click it, you will be guaranteed to get our episodes the moment that we put them out on the interwebs for consumption. You can also find us in a similar fashion through the Zune Marketplace for those who live the Vita Zune and not the Vita I. Yeah, that's... Sure. Sure, that makes English. If you don't want to subscribe to our podcasts, which I don't understand why you wouldn't, because they're awesome, you could
plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But if you're looking for us, you should also look out for the other shows that fly underneath our banner.
That's right, because we're not the only thing that exists in the land of Esh. So you can hit up new episodes of our podcast on Monday and follow that up with a brand new episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade podcast hosted by King Baby Duck and his lovable bunch of bastards on Tuesday, where they talk games and animes and sports and more things of a dude-ish nature. Then you follow that up on Wednesdays with a new episode of the Geek Aggro podcast, where it's all about games and gadgets and gear and other stuff. And then we have, for the rest of the week, all the stuff that we put out on our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh, as well as our random Twitterings and the stuff that we write on our respective websites. If you want to find it all in the one place, you can go to landofesh.com. If you want to go and see just the Twitterings of everybody, hit up my page, twitter.com/ninjasista, and check out the Land of Esh list. That's everyone who is in the crew that has contributed. You can also pick up a copy of our magazine, which is on sale now. Again, at landofesh.com. Get it in print. Get it in PDF. I don't care which way you get it. Just get it. So with that, I'm going to ask you, Panda.
I feel like this might be redundant, but go ahead.
What shit you digging?
Gears.
Surprise!
Like, hands down. Ninja?
Yeah?
What shit?
Gears!
Yeah, I figured.
I think we kind of figured it, but I'm going to go with my Epic Edition because I'm actually
did your Epic Edition, and it's not even mine.
I know, but you can come and look, and you can take, and you can examine, and you can actually take ownership at times. It'll be like a timeshare. So this will be your week with the medal, and then I'll have a week
I was about
with
to say,
medal.
That medal is epic.
It is kind of epic.
Now that I touched it, I'm like, man, I wish I didn't get fired so I could have dropped it.
It's been a good week. We've had a lot of fun. Epic, thanks for giving us really an epic adventure. As always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we're out of here.
Peace.